And joining me in the KRVS studios is William Plummer, who is the new director of choral activities here at UL Lafayette, here to talk about their fall concert that will take place November 11th and 12th in our community, on the 11th at UL and on the 12th at Asbury. So, William, I know that you've been in our studios before, and so our listeners may know you, but if they missed that interview, can you tell us just a bit about a little bit about your background as a choral person, and then we'll talk just a bit about the choral activities at UL. Mm-hmm. So where did you study?
Sure. I studied, I actually have a degree in piano from Berea College, and then I went on to do a master's in choral conducting at the University of Louisville in Kentucky. Stayed there for a good while and worked with some choirs there, and came here mm-hmm. to Louisiana to go to LSU, and now I'm here.
Well, I know people are very happy to have you here. We've had such a fine history and reputation in the choral department here at UL Lafayette, and I know people are eager to see what you will add to the program. So tell us about the choral program. What kinds of students are in it, and what sorts of things do you all do throughout the year?
The wonderful thing about the program, the choral program at UL, is that we are able to give scholarships, we're able to give funding to majors as well as non-majors, and we rely on both major and non-major participation. So in that sense, it's really the true college experience to be able to study in other areas and achieve a high level in other areas besides your major. I think it's a wonderful situation. We currently have two choirs. When I came here, we had one. The two choirs are the Chamber Singers and the UL Chorale. And the UL Chorale the membership has ballooned to about 70 or 75, and the Chamber Singers are currently at 23. And in the fall of this upcoming year, fall of 2014, we may need to open another choir, which is great.
Well, that says good things about people's interest in it and what you're already accomplishing there. So why is it a positive thing to have both a chorale and a smaller group like the Chamber Singers?
Well, the chorale is great because of all of those people in that room. There's a great energy. I mean, the energy of 70 people just can't be matched when it's focused in and harnessed, and we're all progressing towards a goal, you know, in this case our concert or our Christmas concert, which comes along on December 5th in Angel and is free. You know, but the small group, there's a certain camaraderie, there's a uniqueness to that, and a personality and a personalness. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just it's smaller scale and it's more intimate, and I think that's another side of choral music that we have to explore.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you can use a different repertoire for mm-hmm. a smaller group. I'm sure there's a whole literature of music pieces for smaller groups that you would not be able to otherwise do.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you're going to be having a concert, as we mentioned, coming up, actually two, one on the 11th and one on the 12th. It will be both groups, the Chorale and the Chamber Singers. Mm-hmm. And it's called Folk Song, just simply Folk Song. Why did you decide on that theme and that repertoire?
Well, there's really something that's captivating to me about the idea of folk music. And, you know, folk music means many different things to many people. The term itself is difficult to define. But I think really what it comes down to is that it's music that's a cultural artifact. It's music that's very cultural in ties, and ties often specifically to a geographic area or a country or an area of a country. And that music originated from the people. I mean, it doesn't have a composer. And there's something attractive because, you know, in music we spend all of our time, it seems, going to hear this work by this composer or that work by that genius. And to go and spend an evening enjoying music that was written by no one in particular, by an anonymous person who wrote a song that then had something to say and something that was such a vital message that it survived and was passed along. I think that's really refreshing.
Mm-hmm. And I guess to use a word in common parlay, it's been vetted over centuries.
Yes.
And really has mm-hmm. passed that test of this is a uniquely human experience because we recognize it generation after generation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is the repertoire that you all will be doing for the concert?
Well, we have sort of a multicultural perspective. There's a good bit of American music. There's also some British music, English, music, England, English music, Brazil, Estonia, Russia. Our opener in the concert is an interesting piece called Cara de Pingo, and it's a pre-Hispanic folk song, so it dates to before Columbus. And the great thing about this folk song is that it's sung in Purjepecha, which is a pre-Columbian Central American language. And it's unrelated to any other surviving language on Earth. Only about 100,000 people speak it currently. So it sounds interesting when you hear it, but the style is definitely a Latin style.
Mm-hmm. Just saying that, I think people are often curious. You sing in many different languages in a chorus.
Yes.
Singers, opera singers, art singers, there's always singing in different languages. How do you impart to your students, if not a correct pronunciation or the spirit of the pronunciation? How do you mm-hmm. do that, and particularly with such an ancient language?
Well, it takes a lot of study, and it takes sometimes contacting someone. I mean, the world has gotten smaller, you know, back even just in my childhood, and I'm not very old, but even in my childhood, to find out these things would have taken considerable effort. But now it's as easy sometimes as finding someone on Skype that's willing to talk to you for a moment, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. Contacting a friend that's overseas and asking if someone knows someone, or even on this campus, because we have a multicultural community here. I mean, we've had singers come in and non-singers come in to work with us on our Brazilian Portuguese pronunciation and our Russian pronunciation. So it's really a great opportunity for the singers to sort of live in another world for a while. I mean, the languages that we speak are, you know, constructs of our mind, and they convey more than just who we are as people. They convey where we came from and where we're going, and our countries and our associations. And so it's nice for students to have that, and especially non-majors who might not be able to have that experience in any other way.
So they're having a real international experience and really learning about that universality of mm-hmm. song and in different languages. Yeah. If you are just tuning in, my guest is William Plummer, who's director of choral activities here at UL Lafayette. The UL Chorale and Chamber Singers will be giving their fall concert November 11th and 12th. Now, is the repertoire the same for both concerts?
Yes, it's exactly mm-hmm. the same.
Okay. And the first concert is going to be here at UL Lafayette. Where is it going to take place on campus?
It's going to take place in Burke Hawthorne Theater at 7:30 p.m. on November 11th. And then our second concert will be at Asbury United Methodist at 7:30 p.m., same time, mm-hmm. on Johnson Street.
And do people need to buy tickets ahead of time?
No, it's absolutely free.
Okay, that's always a plus with all of these great cultural activities that we have going on around here. Now, what is the balance between the number of songs the chorale will perform as opposed to the chamber? Is it pretty well divided mm-hmm. between the two groups?
Sure. It's almost exactly divided. Mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, part of creating a culture here of song and a culture of choral music is to show that no matter where the group comes from, no matter who is in the group, that they can be equal participants at an equally high level. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll come together and be apparent in our concerts. I feature both groups evenly.
All right. Now, you mentioned that you may have to add another group. Would it be just another chamber singers group or one with a different purpose?
I'm sort of thinking at this point that the group will be called the Concert Choir, but until it gets on the books yet and we find a meeting time, I don't quite know.
Right. Well, maybe we'll have you back
sure.
to talk about that new group and the concerts. Now, you did mention that you'll be having a Christmas concert, and that's upon us, really, so it'd be nice to have you back before that, but maybe you can just put that in people's minds when that
sure.
concert will be.
The Christmas concert is, I mean, we call it different things, the UL Christmas concert, the UL holiday concert. Mm-hmm. But it's really a concert of holiday music, secular and sacred, sometimes tunes that just have one association or the other. Sometimes it might just be a tune about snow, which would be nice if we occasionally had a little bit of here. Some people would not like me to say that, but it's Thursday, December 5th. And that's at 7:30 p.m. in Angel. And the wonderful thing about the holiday concert is that it's a collaboration between all of the large ensembles on campus, which takes a lot of work and preparation and planning, but it's really a fantastic and a beautiful result. So we'll have the orchestra, we'll have the UL Wind Ensemble, and all of the combined choirs participating in that.
That is a pretty amazing concert, and such talent, as you mentioned, among all of those different ensembles. Mm-hmm. Just a real joyous occasion. So hopefully we'll be telling people more about that as that concert gets closer. Mm-hmm. But you have an opportunity on the 11th and 12th, or one or both, or however many you want to go to hear the UL Chorale and the Chamber Singers, directed by my guest, William Plummer, who is the new director of choral activities. If people would like to know more about the calendar of music events in the School of Music, is there a place they can go?
Yes, they can go to the webpage and they'll see a link that shows the calendar. I think it's down in the bottom right of the webpage. And the information's all there.
All right. That's the UL School of Music. A great place to go. Good page to bookmark. And you can keep apprised of what's going on. And you could go to a concert almost every week through the School of Music, mm-hmm. I think, particularly once the semester gets started. Well, thank you so much. We look forward to your work as Director of Choral Activities and hearing many wonderful concerts. And I know that we're making plans right now with you to record the Chamber Singers, singing some Christmas songs that we will play here on KRVS during our Christmas programming. So we look forward to that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Patrice Melnick with the Festival of Words up in the Grand Coteau area, and Fabienne Canor, who is a novelist and filmmaker, who will be reading from her work this evening at the start of the festival for a bilingual literary reading, vegetarian potluck, and music evening that will take place at Nunu's this evening. Before we speak with Fabienne about her work in particular, Patrice, I think we would like to know more about the Festival of Words. This is, how many years have you all been doing the festival?
This is our sixth year for the Festival of Words.
Annual Festival of Words.
Yeah.
And tell us about the idea behind this particular festival and your vision for this festival.
It started because we were having having open mics and when I had Casa Azul in the back of the shop, and then we kind of organized it more, and then momentum came from that. And so we decided to create a festival, and we didn't know of a literary arts festival nearby in the region. And so we tried to figure out how to put it together, and then it grew.
And that's interesting that you say that you really didn't model yourself on anyone, because it has a very unique structure and flavor, very much a part of this incredible artistic ferment that's happening in South St. Landry Parish right now between Sunset, Grand Coteau, Arneville. There's a lot going on, and you all really incorporated many of those elements that are happening, because they're happening in all levels. You've got things going on in the schools. You've got things going on in private reading series. You have artists who are moving there, writers who are moving there. So you really had to find a way to embrace all of those, and you all have done that beautifully.
Yeah, we kind of decided early on we didn't want to just occupy the area. We didn't want to be a reading series where people come from Baton Rouge and Lafayette and nobody locally bothered to come.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we've made a lot of effort to be an inclusive event, to bring in as many people as we can. And we do that by sending authors into the public schools to work with the youth. And they're actually writing. It's not a lecture, that they're writing with the author and they get to read to the author. It's interactive. We have an oral history element where elders in town will come and talk about, if we're in a historical building, they'll talk about the history of that building. And so that draws in more people and also gives the authors a sense of place, where you are geographically and historically, and so we do want to be integrated into that beautiful area.
Right, because you often hear that, you know, one of the first rules of writing is write what you know, write from where you're from, where you come from. And you have an interesting mix of writers who are both from here and from other places, like our guest, Fabian Canor. So you all have made a really good effort to showcase local authors along with internationally known authors.
Exactly, that's what we've done. And it's worked really well. And often, you know, we'll pair somebody locally with somebody from outside the area. Mm-hmm. And in fact, tonight we're pairing Fabian with Djalma Garnier, who's going to play some violin music,
yes,
some fiddle music early in the evening during the potluck. And so
right.
Again, that'll help diversify.
And Djalma, of course, does a program here on KRVS, mm-hmm, Passport to Modern Jazz, and is quite a historian himself and writer, and has written about Creole music and Zydeco music, and is a fascinating person. So that's an interesting combination. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of the events coming up, but we would like to welcome Fabian.
Yeah, thank
Canor.
You. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
We're very glad to have you. And as we mentioned, the festival does a really good job of pairing local with international writers, and you yourself are quite an international writer. You base yourself in Paris. And
yeah, some part of my time. Actually, I share my time with between Paris and Yaoundé in Cameroon, so it's very far away. So I'm very far away from my house, but at the same time, since my arrival here, maybe 16 days ago, I really feel myself very good, very well. I mean, it's like as if it was my home here. So I'm very excited about the idea of sharing my poetry, my work of filmmaker, because I'm a filmmaker also. So it's very marvelous for me. It's like a fairy tale, you know?
So, and those 16 days you have been mostly in Louisiana?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I spent partly of my time in New Orleans, in which I've got a project. And then, thanks to I have to thank Philippe Aldon from the French consulate, because thanks to him, I'm here today. And then after the time spent in New Orleans, I came to Baton Rouge for 3 days. It was fabulous because I met a lot of students, a lot of researchers who work on the same topics than me. So it was very, very interesting. And I've just arrived actually two hours ago. So it's
in
a new
area.
Yeah, I'm a newcomer here.
That's right. A very different part of Louisiana.
Wow, yeah. So different. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's so new, so I can't speak a lot. But yeah, I can feel people are very different. It's mm-hmm. like a countryside for me, and I like the country style. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Yeah, yeah. I will discover everything today. Yeah.
Well, we'd love to have you come back after you've discovered a little bit more. But tell people what your work is about. You're a novelist and you're a filmmaker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there one theme, basic theme that runs through your work?
Yeah, actually, I have to speak about my roots. So I born in near Paris, basically in Orleans, 1 hour in train from Paris. But my parents are born in French West Indies, in Martinique. I don't know if people know where Martinique it is, but it's far away from France, but it's a department of France. Mm-hmm. So we belong to France, fortunately and unfortunately also. And I mainly work on the topic about alienation, cultural alienation, slavery, of course, and everything which concerns Black history. Mm-hmm. So the second novel, whom I'm going to read some extract tonight, is precisely about slavery, about all these people who had to leave from Africa and maybe to make another life in New World, what they call New World in America, for example, but in French West Indies or Spanish West Indies, etc. So I only work on this topic, it's a big topic, and also about sexuality, the pleasure, the desire of women, and all the stuff between a man and a woman.
Very French.
Very French. Yes.
And your work has been very well received. You've won a lot of awards.
You've
won awards for both your writing, your novels, as well as your screenplays and your films.
Yeah.
So it speaks to people. It must touch them.
Yeah. Because it's my fifth novel. My fifth novel, Faire l'Aventure, the latest book I've written about migrants, people from West Africa. So I think most of my topic are really, really not interesting, but interest people, because it's only about what we don't use to speak about. Usually we used to hide, you know, sad stories. Mm-hmm. Usually we want to forget all our memories, because a lot of memories are very, very sad and deep. Yeah. But I'm really interested in that. So maybe my work, my mission, my challenge is to put the microphone front of mouses who don't have a voice, who don't have a room, who don't have a room to speak about what they live and
things that are hidden inside of themselves.
So in France, I'm not so well famous, but I work for many, many years about this topic very seriously. I mean, maybe 10 years publication, and maybe 15 years to be a filmmaker for main channels of France 2 or RFO. Mm-hmm. So I used to say about myself, I'm like a soldier, you know, just walking, making discovery, and try to restitute all people want to say. That is my mission. I only do that. I'm not capable of nothing else but writing or filmmaking. That's the point. And that's very strange, because my family is not like that. I mean, my father, for example, he doesn't speak French, the good French. He doesn't have the easy opportunity to go to school. My mother the same. So I really come from not the hub society, you know, but the very, very, very forgotten society. And maybe it's the reason for why I really want to make the voice, to make the light on all these people whom I belong.
Mm-hmm. Make their lives visible to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really important all over the world, and especially in France.
And do you remember, was there one thing in particular, a teacher, something you read, something you saw that made you feel, I can do that, I can tell those stories?
Yeah. Maybe, you know, when I visit West Africa for the first time, because I started to live in West Africa 15 years ago. And I discovered a lot of things by speaking with women, and it was for me necessary to do something else than just listening to the people, to do something with my hands, to do something for them and for me, of course, but to create the link between this world, Africa, and the Western world. So I remember the first things I told was exactly that. Now you have to stop listen or to travel for free or to travel just for your own memories, but just you have to start something not great but important, because bridges are really important. The work of Patrice Melnick, for example, is to create bridges between world, between different poetry, between different human being, between different cultures, and I really want to be this bridge with my voice, with my writing, with my pictures.
Well, I think people can sense your passion and your dedication just from what you've said there. And I want to let people know who may just have tuned in that they can hear you, speak with you, and listen to you read from your work tonight in Arneville.
I really hope, because it's like a veillée tonight. You know, we used to say veillée, for example, for the dead people. And now it's for dead people because they were slaves a few centuries ago, and they were human beings a few centuries ago, and now they're somewhere in the sea, very, very deep inside the sea. But we can't forget that. Aimé Césaire, the big, big poet from Martinique, used to say, we have to remember everything. So actually, we have to remember, and it's for this reason, I really want to read again and again and again these voices about black people, the voices of this slave, and no one was there. But we can forget. We can't forget, so we have to remember what they feel, what they used to say, what they used to live, and etc. So tonight, for me, is absolutely like a veillée, because there are a lot of people, I hope so, a lot of people, and I am going to speak, to write, because I write in French. So I'm going to read some extract in French, but with another people, maybe Patrice, who really wants to help me, and so maybe both in French, because I think it's really important to listen to the other musicality of the roads. So we use both French and English. Yeah.
Well, people will enjoy that. So we can think of that as a veillée. That's a really lovely way to think about that.
Absolutely.
A memorial service, a way of honoring and giving voice to these people you're writing about. That is tonight. That will be at Nunu's in Arneville. And as they often do, they like potlucks. So they're involving not just your reading and the art, but food as well.
Yeah,
people
and
are
Zydeco.
Invited. Yes, and Djalma will be performing music as well. So people are invited to bring a vegetarian dish?
Yeah, we do. We just thought we'd do something a little different. So we're doing a vegetarian potluck tonight.
All right. So people can bring dishes or not. And they can attend. It starts at, is it 7 o'clock as usual, or is it earlier?
The potluck's going to begin at 6:30.
Okay. So 6:30, you can show up. The potluck will happen. What time will the reading and the performance?
The reading will probably begin closer to 7:30.
Okay.
Yeah, 7:30, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there will be
minutes.
Time
we have
for
time
talking.
To talk and visit and listen
and really
to some
veillée.
Music.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember when I wrote this book called Humus, I remember I have to travel a lot. I have to travel until Nantes, in which a witch used to be a port négrier, from which this place there are a lot of boats who used to go to Africa for the slavery trade. So I went to Nantes to explore the archives of Nantes. And then I went to Africa in the coast, Nigeria, Badagry. It was a little town called Badagry. And then to Guadeloupe. So I traveled a lot to write this story. And if I talk about this project, it's because I'm about to start another project in this area. So I really want to talk about the Loas Plantation, but in I don't know exactly what kind of novel it will be, of course, not an historic novel, but something more sensitive, something maybe more gathering. I don't know, but I know this place because I went twice in this place, and I'm really interested in this history by women. Only 4 women. They live inside. They eat, they love, or they don't love anymore. I don't know exactly, but I have to understand the way of living in this area in 18th, 19th century. So I really enjoyed to be there just to capture the atmosphere of this place. And of course, I'm really interested in African Creole inheritance. So I have to understand a lot before writing it.
You're looking forward to talking with a lot of people from this area.
Yeah, so. Yeah, mm-hmm. I hope. Because we share the history. I mean, I'm a French West Indian people, so I know slavery, but there are a lot of stories. So, you know, you need maybe many lives before understanding all the history.
You need the full picture.
Yeah.
So if you would like to attend tonight, Fabienne is very interested in talking about the area, talking about the feeling, the culture, the memories, the stories.
Yeah.
So a lot of time for talking as well as listening to the reading this evening. That is in Arneville at Nunu's. Potluck starts at 6:30. The program starts about 7:30. All are invited. It's a free program, mm-hmm. as are most of the events.
It's free because we've had wonderful sponsors like the French Consulate.
The French Consulate has been very helpful.
Really, really happy when we'd been talking about getting more into French programming for a long time, but they gave us a special opportunity. We also get our sponsors also include the Louisiana Division for the Arts and the Acadiana Center for the Arts, South Arts, National Endowment for the Arts, and so we're grateful to all of those sponsors.
Yeah. They know the value of having programming like this within a community, a local community, bringing in people and sharing stories. So tonight, a lot of story sharing.
Yeah.
My guest, Fabienne Canor, who is a filmmaker and novelist, both from Paris and Cameroon.
Yeah.
And Saint Martinique. We have a lot of visitors, actually, from Martinique who come to Louisiana.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yes, they often come here.
You have to show me the pictures.
You have a little bit of an excerpt from your reading that will happen tonight.
Yeah, maybe I can share just some, some sentences just for the musicalité.
The musicalité. Okay. But this is a translation from French into English. English.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is from Humus.
Yeah, from Humus. This is my second novel.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that word, it's a word we all use, and it has to do with that kind of soil, that humus soil that we put into our gardens.
Yeah.
So that's
and it was exactly the work I have to do before writing it, just to, to put ground, soil in my soul, in my own soul, to make the story grow up. It was the same. Yeah.
It's nice, soil and soul.
Yeah.
And this is Fabienne Canor from her novel, Humus.
I was too young to learn, too small to climb into the branches, to remember my way around those huts where those undead kept watch. I didn't know anything about the world when they took me. Because I didn't know what it meant to cry. I yelled when I saw the water falling. So much water under my eyelids. Oh, was it possible? I look at the sky, observe the clouds, in vain. I looked for the river, scrolled the countryside, nothing. It was in my body that it had begun to wane. In my eyes, wide open, the river was running, carrying me far from the village, into this ocean where it came each day and disappeared. Without a trace. Without a mouth to name them, the words fell. Joy, smile, childhood, grasshoppers, baobabs, they drowned the words without saying a thing. It was only a long time later that I realized what had happened when nothing was left. I opened my mouth. Emptiness. Silence.
That was Fabienne Canor reading from her novel Humus. She will be reading more this evening en français, and there will be some English translation reading as well. Patrice will be doing that. And you will be joined by Djalma Garnier, who will be talking about connections between Louisiana and the Caribbean, connections of music and history. So he'll be joining you, and he'll be playing a little bit of music as well. So a wonderful evening. This opens the Festival of Words tonight in Arneville. My guest Patrice Melnick, one of the founders of the Festival of Words. It starts tonight, runs through the weekend. You have a website where people can go for the full schedule.
and do festivalofwords.org.
Okay, simply that. Go there and find out more about it. This is a public event tonight, so everyone can attend and participate. Yeah. There will be a lot of workshops that have already been scheduled in the schools. Fabienne, you will be going to two schools.
Yeah, I took part in this program. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really interesting. Yeah, because, you know, the only purpose of an artist is not only writing by his own, of course, but is put the tools of writing, of singing, of imagining to the others. See, to develop the process of creation, I think it's really important to be present at school. Because we are all, you know, we are all adults today and we forgot all this time. And we need to be back to the roots. And the root for every human being is school, what you can understand, what we can listen, what you can apprendre, learn at school. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important, it's crucial. Yeah, I'm really happy when Patrice told me, okay, what about a creative writing? I said yes,
well,
of course.
Those children in those schools are very, very fortunate to have you.
Yeah, and me to have them, actually. Yeah.
I hope there's a lot of observers.
We're all lucky. Yeah.
So those two schools are St. Martinville High and Park Vista.
That's right.
Okay.
And Park Vista is an immersion school, so it's really great.
So Fabienne Canor will be there tomorrow in those schools.
Yeah, and Friday.
And tonight everyone can enjoy and participate in her bridge building, connecting cultures and stories and sharing them all with us.
Yeah.
Opens the Festival of Words, which runs through the weekend. Mm-hmm. Again, Festival of Words. org for more information about that. Fabienne, thank you so much for coming. Fabienne
thank
Canor,
you very much. Yeah.
Novelist, filmmaker, and we look forward to seeing more of your work and also hopefully someday the project that you're working on in Louisiana.
I hope so.
We'll have
you
back sometime.
Yes.
Thank you, Judith, so much for having us.